Father God, I thank you for the privilege of serving you this morning, Lord. Father, I just pray, Lord, that you would undertake for your word, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, we come, Lord, to praise and to worship you. And Father, we thank you for the honour and the privilege that you have brought us out of darkness into glorious light to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father, if there's anybody here who is still in darkness, I pray, Lord, that you will save their souls. And Lord, I just thank you now. Undertake for your servant. Lord, as I step out of the boat onto the water with Jesus, I pray, Father God, that you will undertake. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. God's perfect timing. And for the Christians today, God hears and listens to us. And God answers prayer. In Psalm 34, verse 17, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from their troubles. And that word deliver means to rescue. He rescues us from our troubles.
Amen.
The definition of troubles is our anguish and our distress. And so what is caused, is anything causing us distress or anguish today? We know that we have an enemy of our souls that would pull us down and cause distress and anguish. And we also know that we live in a world where life happens from the fall, and we need Christ every day, every minute of the day. And Ecclesiastes 3:1. The NIV, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. King James Version, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under the heavens. And that definition of time is a continually, it's now, when and after, is certain. And the definition of season is an appointed occasion, a season. And the definition of purpose is a valuable thing, a desire, a purpose. And God has an order of time for us. To everything there is a season. And that definition of season is an appointed occasion in life. A time for every purpose under the heavens. The definition of time, as I said, it means continually, now, when and after. And time is certain for us. And time continues in our lives here on earth. We hear the saying that time waits for no man. And God has a purpose in these seasons of our lives, God's desire for our lives, and it's a valuable thing for us. We know from Scripture, Isaiah 55, 8 to 11, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it.
Amen.
And that seed can be sown in somebody's life years gone by. But when God has sown the seed, he will accomplish what that seed was meant to be sown for. Hallelujah. And there is a purpose and plan for our lives appointed by God. And Dave shared weeks ago, he's not here today, about trusting God. And I think he shared how we're not meant to understand it all. And that's so true. How often do I or we complicate our lives when we try and work out matters out in our own way of thinking. Maybe asking God questions. And God has already ordained his purpose for us. We cannot change it. We just need to trust him. I love the illustration that Dave shared last week. It wasn't last week, it was weeks ago. Reclining on Jesus, such a restful place to be, position to be. And that needs to be position of faith. I know the some time ago I made a decision before going to sleep not to concern myself with worries and matters. But even recently found myself worrying again, and that's not what God wants. When we try and work out life matters and work out concerns, we become distressed. We see from Scripture that God's thoughts and ways are higher than ours. Indeed, if we are thinking in the natural realm, it can bring us turmoil and distress. But if we are trusting God, knowing that His thoughts and ways for us are what really matters, then we will have the peace of God on our lives when we trust Him. Amen. Someone dear to me said weeks ago that God can allow situations, painful as they may be, to bring us to our knees. Maybe we don't like to think that way, but God's thoughts and ways for us are far higher, and they are eternal, than just how we are, how we feel in this life. We can, in Christ, position ourselves, place our faith in Jesus to trust Him. Romans 8, verse 18. The Apostle Paul says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The Apostle Paul contrasted the sufferings of the present with the glorious hope for the future. Paul had suffered greatly for the sake of the gospel, yet he affirmed that those sufferings were nothing compared to the future glory he anticipated. His mind was thinking of eternal matters. 2 Corinthians 16:18, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweigh them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And so where is our focus? Where is my focus today? Are my thoughts, your thoughts, on the temporal or on the eternal? To enjoy life in Christ is to fix our eyes on Him. God's timing is perfect for us. God is still on the throne. God said, my thoughts are not like your thoughts. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Until you come to terms with the fact that God doesn't think like you, you will question His ways and even doubt His love. We try to avoid pain, but often God uses it to bring us peace. We want comfort, but He is more interested in character. We pursue stuff that doesn't last, whereas He tells us to build our lives on that which endures for eternity. The fact is, God dwells in a dimension we can't begin to fathom. Solomon says, no one can really build a house for our God. Not even the highest of heavens can hold Him. What controls you doesn't control God. And what worries you doesn't worry Him. Ask yourself, is an eagle agitated by traffic? No, he soars above it. Is a whale disturbed by a hurricane? Of course not, he dives beneath it. Is a lion flustered by a mouse standing in his way? No, he walks over it. How much more is God able to soar above, dive beneath, and walk over the troubles of earth? What is impossible with man is possible with God. God can be everywhere at once, and He can hear and answer all the prayers that come to Him. Think about it. God works according to a plan and a purpose. He's on the throne and in control of everything, and yet He still watches over every detail of your life. Let that truth comfort you today. Amen. So what controls you doesn't control God, and what worries you doesn't worry Him. What is it that controls our thinking? In 2 Corinthians, chapter 10 and verse 5, we are told, casting down imaginations, all those things that go on in our mind, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The battle starts in the mind. Do not entertain anything that doesn't exalt the Lord. Demolish it straight away with God's word. The sword of the Spirit. Let every thought that would try to pull you away from God's word fall on deaf ears. I'm not listening to that. I'm not listening to what the enemy has got to say. A quote. Living by faith is not easy, but it is essential. It is the only weapon for adversity that cannot fail. We use our shield of faith against those fiery darts that come in the form of the flesh and the enemy. And in the raising of Lazarus in the New Testament, we read how God's timing was perfect. And how there was a divine plan and purpose in his death and him being brought back to life by Christ. And if we turn to John 11. Start at verse 1. I'll leave it for you to, if you want to find it. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and his sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea. Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago, the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back." And Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." And Jesus had been speaking of his death, and his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied, "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and he is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. And when the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. And when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there's a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to him, to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." And these are the same sisters, some of you will remember, Mary and Martha, if you remember, the one who was busy serving, and the other one, sister Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet. And further on in scripture, we see that Lazarus, their brother, is sick. And they send a word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." And this word love is a filial love, connected with friendship. And these sisters knew who to turn to. They had intimacy with Christ. He had a closeness with them, and they sent him a word. And we do the same with Jesus in prayer, don't we? We send him a word. And in this case, it was out of desperation. "Our brother whom you love is sick. Your friend is sick." And there was a purpose in Lazarus' sickness. Jesus found this, said this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. And there was a purpose in this sickness and in his death. And Jesus knew Lazarus was sick, but he stayed where he was 2 more days. And this is why what I'm trying to bring out is God's perfect timing. God's ways are not our ways. He stayed there 2 more days. He didn't rush to the home. There was a divine purpose in the waiting. And this made me think of God's perfect timing in any given situation. We sometimes want to act according to what we want. We sometimes pray according to what we think should be done. But God's timing is perfect in our situation. And he waited where he was 2 more days. And we read in verse 5, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." And this definition of this word love is the agape love, the highest form of love. God's love. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. As we said, God's ways are not our ways. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea." They were hesitant because the Jews had tried to stone Jesus earlier. But his time had not yet come. It was God's appointed time only for his death on the cross. And that would come later, recorded in scripture. The appointed time, Romans 5 verse 6, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Disciples were concerned about their safety, but Jesus knew his time had not yet come. And just as Jesus loved Martha, Mary and Lazarus with this agape love, he loves his own today, his believers, his followers. Just as he waited 2 more days while Lazarus was sick, the sisters were in desperate need for Jesus to come and turn up and minister. They needed to see Jesus in person But Jesus remained where he was, but there was a purpose for it. And you may be waiting today, as the sisters were waiting. And so then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him, talking to his disciples. Christ was in full control of the situation, and his timing was perfect. They would see the Lord raising Lazarus from the dead. They would see God's glory, see God's Son glorified through it. And God allows circumstances in our lives for his glory. We can think how we want everything to work out, but God's goodness and mercy follows us. If only we would trust his thoughts and his ways that would save us from our turmoil and distress. Christ, on hearing Lazarus was sick, waited 2 more days. Death was not a concern for him, and for his purpose, he knew Lazarus would be raised from the dead for God's glory, so that God, the God's Son, might be glorified. Amen. Both the sisters said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. The disappointment for those sisters. They both must have been devastated at this point, so wanting Jesus to turn up. But there was a purpose in their waiting on the Lord. Maybe we have been in that situation where we're waiting for the Lord to move in a situation. Maybe, I know I have been disappointed long, long time ago, wanting Jesus to move quicker for me. But I repented of it, because who was I to be disappointed with Jesus? Amen. We see how Martha went to meet Jesus. The faith of Martha when she said to Jesus, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Her faith in Christ displayed her intimacy with him. Even after 4 days, God will give you, Lord, what you ask. At one point, her service to him was distracted in the earlier chapters with so much serving. But now her focus was on him. She had a desperate need. How, when we are desperate, our focus is on Jesus. And I've read in the bottom of my Bible notes that Jewish tradition taught that the deceased person's soul would hover over the body for 3 days after death in hope of resurrection. However untrue, the superstition was widely believed. The fact that Lazarus had been dead for 4 days instead of 3 left little doubt in Jewish mindset that Lazarus' restoration to life by Jesus was in fact an unmistakable miracle. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And she answers him in verse 24, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. There is living hope for the believer in Christ today. We see how Martha calls her sister Mary and takes her aside and says, the teacher is here and he is asking for you. What a comfort and relief for Mary to know Jesus was asking for her. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. She went to Jesus, her personal God, personal Jesus. He was asking for Mary. And Mary, when she reaches Jesus, she falls at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Both sisters had been waiting for Jesus to come to their aid. And maybe we are still waiting for Jesus to come to our aid in the way we want. But remember, God has a plan and a purpose for us in his perfect timing, and he is always with us. We are never alone. Further on, we see Jesus weeps, he shed tears, and then further on, we are told that Jesus is deeply moved and comes to the tomb, and he says, take away the stone. Martha thinking with her own thoughts, realizing he'd been dead for 4 days, said, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Martha still reasoning in the natural realm. How often do we try and reason out our own way of thinking when God has everything sorted out for us? And Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? They were to see a miracle, Lazarus being raised from the dead. And the purpose to all of this was in the miracle. There was a reason for Jesus waiting. This death had no control over Christ. He himself said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will live, will never die. Do you believe this? Was his question to Martha, and it is his question to us today. It was God's divine plan for Lazarus to be raised from the dead, because through the miracle God was glorified, and many of the Jews believed in Christ through the work Christ done in the raising of Lazarus. The reason for Lazarus being sick and Christ raising him from the dead was for God's glory, and it was in his plan and purpose, every detail of it. Even the waiting of the 2 days before when he visited, when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick. He said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Through the raising of Lazarus then and now, we see God's power to raise from the dead, in this God would be glorified and lives changed. That is God's purpose for our lives, that God be glorified in us, in our lives. God told Martha that if she believed, her brother would rise again. And here we see the raising of Lazarus, where through the miracle people believed. Verse 45, therefore many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. The death of Lazarus teaches us that his earthly life was temporal, and God's love for Lazarus, Martha and Mary passed the temporal, and Lazarus being raised from the death displayed God's power over the death and grave. Hallelujah. Amen. In Christ today. So be encouraged today, church. If you were saying like the sisters, if only you would be near, Lord. If only you would come to my aid. Answered my prayer in the way I wanted it. Answered, you can be assured that God wants in the spiritual realm to glorify God through his Son in your life. Through the death and raising of Lazarus, Mary, many believed in Christ. God is in full control of our lives. He is not answerable to us, but we can know that even though the 2 days seemed as a delay for Mary and Martha, the end result was for God's glory. Maybe we can look back over our lives and we can see too how we have waited for God to show us his presence. But he is still working in our lives for his glory through it, and he's always there. That could mean for us a waiting period and a dry, difficult period. But God will work out all things together for good, for those who love God, for those who are there called according to his purpose. His purpose is for us to trust him, to lean on him like a reclining chair, to know and accept his timing is perfect, and to know that his thoughts and ways are higher than ours. He has an eternal purpose and plan for us. Amen. His ways are perfect. Romans 8 verse 29. For those God foreknew, hallelujah, he also predestined, predetermined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. That's the agape love. The agape love. He loved Martha and his sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, when he heard there was a need, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Now Jesus loved. You can put your name in that. And when he heard they in need, he stayed where he was, as we said, 2 more days. In the waiting on Jesus, we not only learn God's ways and thoughts are higher than ours, we certainly cannot work God's ways out with the natural reason in mind, but in his perfect timing, he will work out all things together for good. And we are called to walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. Mary and Martha did not see Jesus physically at their time of need, but he was there in full control of their need. And God would be glorified through it. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your precious word. Father, I thank you for your faithfulness to your people. Father, I thank you for salvation, that we receive by grace alone, that, Father, you gave your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the highest form of love, the agape love. And, Father, we praise you this morning for Jesus. Father, I thank you that you are God and you're in control of every situation. And, Father, I just praise you this morning. Lord, speak to us through your precious words. And Father, I thank you for your faithfulness, and may you have all the honour, the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world but to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Father God, we thank you for Jesus today. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.